Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
The Federal Department of Health and Human Services has issued a new rule that governs discrimination in healthcare. It gives healthcare providers more leeway to refuse to provide services like abortion, sterilization, or assisted suicide. All they need to do is cite a religious or conscience objection. Here to explain all of this is NPR health policy correspondent Allison Kojak. Hey, Allison.
Hey, Elsa.
So can you just tell me what's happening here. What is HHS changing in terms of the rules that affect healthcare providers and hospitals?
So the rule is really a statement of priorities for HHS, and particularly for its Office for Civil Rights. It shows that the agency's, you know, focused on protecting the religious convictions of healthcare providers, anyone who works in a healthcare setting, in fact, and it's protecting those perhaps over the rights of patients to get the care they want and need. Mm-hmm. Doctors, nurses already had the right in most cases to refuse to participate in abortions and other procedures. Mm-hmm. Here's Roger Severino. He's the head of the Office for Civil Rights. Here's how he describes it.
No new law is being made here. What is being done is the provision of enforcement tools for existing conscience and religious freedom protections in healthcare.
Why are they doing this now then?
So I think there are really two answers to that question. Number one is sort of immediate. Today is National Prayer Day, and this morning the president was able to announce these new rules at the National Prayer Breakfast.
Just today we finalized new protections of conscience rights for physicians, pharmacists, nurses, teachers, students, and faith-based charities.
And also the 2020 election campaign is heating up, and the president has a very strong following among religious conservatives. So right. This plays well with those voters who are opposed to birth control, abortions, and some other types of medical care.
Can you explain the impact you think this will have on patients? Like, say, I want to get birth control. I live in a rural town, but the only doctor in town has moral or religious objections to contraception. What do I do? Do I have any legal recourse if he or she refuses?
Yeah, no, this rule actually gives that person, the pharmacist, the doctor, more protections to refuse care. And it isn't just the doctor. It's almost anyone who works in a healthcare setting. So if you cannot get birth control at your pharmacy or through your doctor's office, you may have to travel, who knows, for hours if it's a rural area. What this rule does, it says not only do you have no recourse, but the doctor or pharmacist could have recourse themselves if their employer required them to provide that contraception.
Hmm. But this isn't just about birth control or abortion, right? What are the other healthcare services that this rules change could affect?
You know, it could go pretty far. It could extend to in vitro fertilization or other fertility treatments. It could affect end-of-life care. So imagine, like, I have a stroke and I'm taken to a Catholic hospital. Mm-hmm. If the physicians determine that I won't recover, the hospital still could refuse to allow my family to remove life support, even if I had an advance directive, a living will that said I didn't want it. And right now, religious hospitals are a major subset of the healthcare industry, and they're very concentrated in some areas. So in some cases, patients won't always have a choice.
That's NPR health policy correspondent Allison Kojak. Thanks, Allison.
Thanks, Elsa.
Yeah, I work about 32 jobs over the course of a week. I think it's interesting I got 32 jobs, and most niggas say they can't find one. Niggas.
with surprisingly good job numbers this morning. Unemployment has fallen to the lowest level in almost 50 years. Employers added 263,000 new jobs last month. That's more than analysts had been expecting, and it's another sign that the U.S. economy keeps moving along after almost a decade of economic growth. NPR economics correspondent Scott Horsley is with us this morning. Hi, Scott.
Good to be with you, Rachel.
Pretty encouraging jobs numbers here. What do they tell us?
Well, there's certainly no slowdown in the labor market. In fact, the pace of hiring is accelerating. In the first 3 months of 2019, we saw average monthly job gains of about 180,000. This is obviously well above that. We also saw a modest revision in February's jobs number, which had been sort of the low point in the year. So even though, as you say, the economic expansion is about to begin its second decade, it shows no signs of slowing down.
What about wages? That strong job market is helping to push wages up?
That's right. Wages rose at an average of 3.2% over the last year. That's about the pace they've been climbing in recent months. And one thing that's encouraging is the strongest wage gains have come at the bottom of the income ladder. That's partly because of cities and states that have raised their minimum wage, but it's also because employers are having to compete for labor. And we're kind of in a sweet spot right now because workers are getting more money in their pockets. But wages are not going up so fast that inflation becomes a big concern. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell addressed that this week and said he sees more room for the growth to continue.
For a long time now, there have been anecdotal reports of labor shortages and difficulty in finding skilled labor and that kind of thing. Nonetheless, you have very strong job creation, and you have wages moving up at a rate that is appropriate but not at all signaling any overheating at all.
One thing that's helping is workers are becoming more productive. We got a report yesterday showing strong productivity gains in the first quarter, and that means employers can keep their costs in check even as they're paying their workers a little bit more.
And what about that unemployment number, 3.6%? That is the lowest we have seen since 1969. What does that tell us?
Yeah, that's a great bumper sticker. It's actually, though, not a great statistic in this case because the reason unemployment ticked down in April was a lot of people left the job market, according to the survey that's used to compile that number, nearly 500,000 people. Now, that's in contrast to the pattern we've been seeing in recent months when a lot of people were coming off the sidelines and looking for work because the job market's been so strong. And it's that trend we want to continue if we want to keep this expansion going. We want to certainly keep an eye on that labor force participation number. It can bounce around a little bit, and it may be noisy. We want to see participation increasing. In April, though, it went the other direction.
Any other weak spots in this report?
Manufacturing employment was kind of weak. Factories added only 4,000 jobs last month, and revised figures for March show flat hiring in factories. For much of the last year, we saw manufacturing growing at about 22,000 jobs per month. So that does appear to be slowing down. That's consistent with some other indicators we've seen about manufacturing. The factory sector is still growing, just not as fast as it was last year. We're also seeing continued job losses in the retail sector. We lost 12,000 retail jobs last month, but we gained 11,000 jobs in warehousing and transportation. So you see right there the shift to e-commerce. On the whole, though, a pretty strong report. Good gains in business, healthcare, and construction.
NPR's chief economic correspondent, Scott Horsley. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
A Nazi flag, an interracial relationship, and a police officer fired. A lawsuit claims it happened in a small Georgia town.
Channel 2's Dave Huddleston talked to the black police officer who says he was fired for dating a fellow officer who was white.
It's an unusual case for 2019. Karan Robinson says going public with his relationship caused his life to quickly spin out of control.
Extremely depressing. That was the lowest point I'd ever been in my entire life.
Karan Robinson says all he ever wanted was to be a drug cop. He got the chance in the small town of Darien, Georgia, near Savannah.
So I jumped in at both feet.
He quickly moved up the ranks, becoming a full-time drug investigator. He made a major drug bust.
That was the best day of my life.
But Karan says his life quickly fell apart when he and a white woman went public with their secret romance.
It was one day, I'm the best thing since sliced bread, and the next day, I can't walk and chew bubblegum. Like, I can't do anything right.
And he says there were other signals he ignored, like the Nazi flag that hung for years in the Darien Police Department.
I totally blocked the flag out. It had been there for so long.
Karan says the trouble began when the chief suspended him for going to Atlanta with his girlfriend in his police car. He was suspended again for working with the sheriff's office. The chief demoted him to a patrol officer. Karan says he almost had a nervous breakdown.
I'd go home. I'd cry. I'd be mad. I'd be depressed.
A lieutenant told Karan that he and his girlfriend couldn't work off-duty security at this restaurant. He said the staff no longer felt comfortable around them.
Immediately, I know what it is. I mean, the chief, wife's worked there.
During a deposition, the chief, in an unrelated incident, admitted to saying when he found out his own daughter was, quote, dating a black boy, I became so physically ill, I vomited. Karan says the chief created a paper trail to fire him, ultimately for failing to notify dispatch at the start and end of a shift.
I mean, it wasn't even anything anybody had heard of.
Katie Mitchell is Karan's attorney.
Each of the witnesses that were deposed, there was not a single officer, whether a party, whether for the Darien Police Department or from another agency, that had ever even heard of another officer being terminated for policy infractions such as failing to notify dispatch.
Karan is suing the city of Darien and the police department leadership for race discrimination.
Not that just that the chief sees me as less than. The whole city sees me less than. The council, the mayor, the city manager, y'all all see me as not worth it. Not just me, all black people.
We reached out to Chief Donnie Howard and the others being sued. Their attorney emailed us they don't comment on pending lawsuits. Karan says filing a lawsuit against the police brotherhood is something cops don't do, but he says what they did to him was unforgivable.
It's my fight, and I'm going to fight it all the way to the end.
And Karan's fight will move forward in court. Less than 2 weeks ago, a judge ruled the chief and a former co-worker do not have immunity.
So that's shaping up to be an interesting situation there once they go to court. Of course, the stress of this entire situation, you can understand that, but it also ended that relationship.
It sure did. Soon after they went public with that romance and the situations that transpired, that relationship broke up right after he was fired.
So he's waiting for his day in court.
Yes.
Dave, thank you.
Context of white supremacy. When I saw that report, I was reminded of Pamela Evans Harris, the late. She is missed greatly. Feverish black male. Feverish black males. Anyway, Pam is missed. Context of white supremacy, Gus T. Renegade, and for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, May 3rd, 2019, so I have been told. Wow, it has been quite a spring, quite a 2019. This is our weekly forum, Neutralizing Workplace Racism. If you have figured out some codification, if you figured out some strategies that work well, you are not dating your white colleagues, male or female. You have figured out that is not the best policy for the workplace. And you have also figured out some other spectacularly effective strategies to help you get all of your sick leave, all of your promotions. You are not being written up and told that you have violated this policy and people don't feel comfortable working with you anymore. That's not happening to you. You don't have your schedule moved around to all sorts of wacky hours where now you're on the graveyard shift, as they say. That doesn't happen to you. You figured out this is what to do. This is what to say. This portion of policy and procedure can be very effective to solve problems. If we have any non-white listeners who have figured out some helpful tidbits, code really, that would benefit other non-white people victims of racism, please dial in to share. The number again, 605, new number relatively, 313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 605-313-5164. 564. The code 564943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Certainly, we are always available. If you are having problems in the workplace, you are being mistreated in some sort of way, there's conflict even with other non-white people, if you're having difficulties and you would like counter-racist suggestions on how you can go about solving problems without creating new problems, always welcome. We will do our best to offer a counter-racist perspective and hopefully offer a few things that might help you get through that situation as best you can. If you're not comfortable dialing in to share about your situation, you can always email untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. And I can read your commentary anonymously on the air if you would prefer to share that way. Again, this is not a spectator broadcast. It is full throttle springtime. You could be outside. You could be at the beach. You could be hiking. Lots of things. Grilling outside. Anything. Getting some sunshine. There's a carnival right down the road, I saw, going on. You could be there getting, funnel cake, candy apples, all the rest of it, Ferris wheel. This is serious business. So hopefully folks who are dialed in to participate, not be spectators for workplace racism. A few things to share before we get to the callers. The audio segments that we heard at the beginning. I played the segment about worker protections that Donald Trump passed this week. I played that because I think it's important. We talk about policy and procedure on a regular basis, and there are a lot of small details, policy, sometimes they could be laws, that could be to your benefit, that could help you on the job, but sometimes it would have to be, you might have to do some digging to find out that, oh, there are some extra protections, you know, in place for me. You might have to do that work. Racists might not necessarily volunteer that information. Again, make sure you've read your policy and procedure in total. And then any additional information that would help you in the workplace, always be seeking that out. Have that as your mindset that I should be really, really curious about things related to the workplace. There's so much information and so many things that can help me in so many different aspects, not just of the current job that I'm on, but think of your long-term work career. Acquiring information that will be helpful to you. I think that's the best way to think about it. Next, that jobs report talking about the drop in unemployment. I suspect that will probably be used by some to say that any black person who is sounding like they are griping about not being able to get adequate employment, that, oh man, Donald Trump has really been putting in the work. Just saw the jobs report. Unemployment is down. Get out of here with all that. You know, if you want a job, you can get a job. Things are going well. You're just lazy. Be mindful. I could see that being the way that the report ends up being used against victims of racism. The last report. I think we have talked a lot for a decade about, you know, tragic arrangements, no sexual intercourse with whites. I would add no sexual intercourse with coworkers, period. I think that should be a standard part of policy and procedure, your counter-racist code on the workplace. I wouldn't care if it's another black person. In fact, I wouldn't care if it's another black person, male or female, with two black parents, four black grandparents, eight black great-grandparents, and they've all read the ISIS papers and the code book. Even then, no quote unquote dating, sexual play or whatever else you want to talk about should be strictly platonic, strictly business. And I say that just because regardless of what it is, the workplace is an environment where we should all be striving to be logical in how we function. This is not an environment where we're going to be taking things personal. And I think once you are engaged in any sort of sexual activity with another person, you're going to have a lot of emotions connected to that person, and you probably don't want your colleagues to be in on your little office romance, because I've also seen where that tends to happen frequently. Not all the time. Certainly a lot of that stuff does go undetected, but frequently, as you heard in that report, that sort of thing can also become public information. And I've seen where whites can make that a very difficult situation, even if it is a black male and a black female, where they still will get in, be terroristic and trashy and all the rest of it. So yeah, just for a myriad of reasons, I would discourage any sort of, you know, sexual activity with the workplace. Let's keep that business. That said, the situation with the male in the clip, I'm not surprised about any of that. And if anything, I would make it a point, time and energy. I think that's the way that Mr. Fuller describes economics, our use of time and energy. They gave that report, this victim of racism, he's a victim, who was, quote unquote, dating his white police officer colleague, worst case scenario. And so he gets harassed and demoted and all these write-ups and everything. And so after all of this, the relationship dissolves. Surprise. Time and energy. Now you go through all of this, a lawsuit. This has been going on for all of the stress. They talked about that at the end of the segment. The stress with all of this. Now, is that really worth it? To pursue this colleague, you know, for however long you all were a thing, and all of this, yes, in terms of time and energy. And I think that's the way that, just according to counter racist logic, none of us has an infinite amount of time. We should be very mindful, very careful about how we invest our time and the people in which we invest our time. It's very often pulling in people that are not constructive, who are not going to be helpful to you. Wow, they can take up a lot of your time and energy. Something to be mindful of, and I think there should be a strict no dating policy in the workplace. And in fact, sometimes that's in the policy and procedure. We've heard from some folks where that is a part of the policy and procedure in their workplace. Continuing. So as I said yesterday, after 17 months of being a flood victim, Gus T. returned to my previous residence this week. Man, whew, man, what to say? Still trying to get, you know, acclimated and all of that. 17 months. So in the process of moving back this week and trying to move out of the temporary flood residence, there is a black property manager, surprisingly, of the previous residence where I've been staying the past 17 months. And we're doing the walkover of the facility, make sure everything is, you know, in great condition. I haven't damaged the property. And so we're talking, oh, okay, it's been great having you here. Have you liked it? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, isn't that crazy? You were only supposed to be here for a couple months and it's been 17. Anyway, so we're supposed to be doing the walkthrough to make sure that there's been no damage. And somehow we veer this, as I've said, this generally happens. Once the microphone goes off, we're not on the air. Any black person, if I'm talking to a cows listener or just any random black person that I bump into, and I don't have to bring up racism, I don't have to tell them about the cows, nothing. We can be talking about, you know, Funyuns, anything, the carnival, funnel cake, anything. 5 minutes, workplace racism is going to come up. We're supposed to be talking about, okay, so you've been in the apartment, blah, blah, blah. Let's check out the bathroom, you know. We got this new white woman that I'm working with. And I said, oh, here, I knew, as soon as he brought it up, I knew workplace racism. Let's hear it. He says, you know, we got this new white woman. Oh, she called him. That's what it was. We were doing the walkthrough and she called him on the phone while we were doing this. And so after he hung up, he said, you know who that was? Oh, white gosh. And he says, she's only been here a few months, which she has. He had been there the whole time. From the time I moved in, she just arrived months ago. He says, she's been here a few months. I'm training her on how to work at this facility, And now, all of a sudden, she's trying to sabotage me. I'm workplace racism. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. This is, I've been doing this job for 13 years. I know how to property manage. I've been doing this. And you're going to come in here, and I try to give you a little bit of knowledge to help you out, and now you're going to be trying to go behind me and rat on me and tell on me to these people. Like, are you serious? You only been here? And I said, you don't say. I believe it. I believe it. He said, he stomped away, and he went to check on something else. He took a deep sigh, and he came back. And he said, you know, I'm going to protect myself. I don't even want this job. I'm trying to get out of this job as soon as I can, but I'm not going to tell you everything. Of course, I'm going to save information so that I can protect myself. Just have to deal with you coming in here and being all stressful and trying to ruin my situation and think you're going to take over. Like, you got to be joking. Workplace racism, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, every Friday. And the same way that report about the black male who tragic arrangement and all the stress that he endured within about 10 minutes into the conversation. So we veer into the workplace racism, all the problems that she's causing him. And he says, man, the stress, I can't even get my mind together. I have to go in at the end of the day and just turn off everything, turn off the television and just try to get my mind to calm down from all of the stress that I deal with in doing this. And yoga was telling him, do some yoga, meditation, very helpful. And that's something that all of us should be mindful for. All of the workplace situations do generate a lot of anxiety and stress for us. Sometimes it can just be the little slights and things that they do. Sometimes it can be major. We're not getting promotions, or we're getting demoted, or we're not getting a raise. The whole gambit. It can and does cause a lot of stress. Be aware of that. If you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling unhappy, if you're feeling frustrated, take that seriously. If you can get days off, do so. It is important. Mental health is really important. And I think a lot of black people, non-white people, period, stew in those toxins from the work environment. And John Singleton passed away this week at 51. That is the toxin of racism, white supremacy. Take it seriously. Folks gave us commentary for workplace racism. And again, the email, untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. First person wrote in for workplace racism from a concerned victim. I am traveling to Africa this year. I am not a native, so I consider this to be the trip of a lifetime. I've requested time off, and this has been granted. Get it in writing. My boss is white, and I don't want to tell him where I'm going. He's probably been already. I've not been pressured to disclose where I'm going, but I do want to have an answer ready if the question should come up. I'm really struggling with this and would appreciate any advice from Gus or the callers. Well, congratulations on your trip. I hope it's spectacular. I think traveling is amazing. Always encourage it. So I hope that it's even better than you have anticipated. I am a fan of disclosing as little as possible to colleagues. I think we've had a number of examples where listeners have talked to us about how white people on the job found out that they were taking a vacation. I think we had one person, they were going to Japan. And even in fact, their children's teachers got tacky and trashy about, like, what? This little nigga child is going to Japan. I haven't, you know, same deal. But people saying the same thing in the work environment, like, we're paying this nigga enough to take a vacation. We got to find something. Let's get a write up. He was late last week, buddy. Let's get some write ups going. You know, this is ridiculous. That's what I've seen. So I wouldn't want to. And particularly, you're going to the continent. I mean, my goodness, it would be one thing if you were taking a trip to another county, but you're going to another continent. Come on. I wouldn't tell them anything about it. I don't know how long your trip is going to be. If this is like a massive thing where you're going to be gone for like weeks or a month or months or what have you. But I would just say I'm taking some time off. I'm going to be spending some time with family or whatever. But I would be as vague as possible. That I had just been saving up time, working a lot. Summer is coming up. You can just be that. Summer is coming up, and I thought it would be great. Might, you know, take some time off, take a little short trip while I'm gone. Might just do some relaxing, get some things taken care of with my free time. But really just looking forward to enjoying free time and sunshine. In fact, you could just say that last sentence. I'm looking forward to enjoying free time and sunshine. And leave it at that. I don't know how long it's going to be. If it's, like I said, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. But I mean, whatever the duration, I think that would work. If they ask a lot more questions, I haven't planned the whole thing out yet. I might take a day trip, do an Airbnb. Nothing is definitive at this point. But I know one thing's for certain. Free time. Sunshine. Make that your refrain so that, well, right on, great, blah, 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 and, you know, just leave it at that. But I definitely would not tell them that you're going to the continent because I think it would be some retribution. If other folks have, you know, other suggestion or recommendation, let me know. I would make sure also that you're not on social media, or at least that you're not, you know, friends with them, and you're not, like, talking about and posting pictures and such on your social media. I would refrain from that as well because they are very, very nosy. And I would make sure to try not to do any prepping about the trip on the job or pulling up things, doing any searching on their computer about it. Again, very nosy. And I think that would work too, as long as you don't. I probably wouldn't tell anybody unless you had like a non-white person there that you had a great rapport with and, you know, you trust, like, oh yeah, they're not going to go back and blab. But I mean, it would have to be a lot of trust there. I just wouldn't tell anyone. White people, non-white people, and then I know I'm, you know, I protected myself as best I can, and then I just go enjoy my trip. Untiljustice@gmail.com. Let's see. Next person, black female. She says, 2 weeks ago, I wrote about how my, I think this is a cowbell too, I wrote about how my black male supervisor only congratulates whites on their work anniversaries. And since it's not a reportable offense, you said not to worry about it much. I have an update. Uh-oh. I only spoke about this to my other black female coworker, and she confirmed she never got a congrats email on her anniversary, and she has been here for 15 years. We were whispering while we were talking, and I had my headset on, but was not on a phone call. The next day, we got a broadcast email congratulating everyone on their anniversary. The kicker was everyone that got congratulated stated it was the wrong date, and if it was earlier in the year, they already got a congrats email on their anniversary. I believe he was recording me while I had my headset on. The email was just odd, and that it was the first time in years any black person has been congratulated on their anniversary. This is just more proof I'm heavily monitored. I would just pause here to, again, this is why this is emphasized every week. Anything that you say in the workplace, and I would say anywhere, as once you have stepped on company property, parking lot, wherever, assume, whether it's Alexa, a confused victim, a snooping race soldier, electronic device, whatever it is, assume you are being surveilled. They're listening to you. They're watching you. They might be recording you. Maybe all three and even more technology, but assume that anything that you say. I'm totally cool with everybody in the organization, everyone who has ever worked here, everyone who will ever work here, having a transcript of exactly what I am saying to the apostrophe. That's the way that we should be thinking at all times in the workplace. Then it absolutely does not matter. Talk away. And that trains you just to be disciplined. If I'm not willing to have that be the case, then I'm just not going to talk about this. But the anniversary situation, I mean, if it's true, I don't really see what the issue is. The person wasn't presenting it. The victim who wrote this wasn't presenting it as though the main issue they were presenting was that they were being monitored, which we already know. And yes, next. My white female manager, who is married to a black male, could not stop terrorizing me this week. The file room lady needed help with her files, so I helped her with simply putting everything back. My female manager came up to me and handed me a stack of paperwork that I needed to put back in their files. Oh, let me see. lost my place. Let me find it back again. Wow. Screen, there we go. Okay. I'm going to start over because I can't find my... Oh, okay, scoop down. Gee whiz. My white female manager, who is married to a black male, could not stop terrorizing me this week. The file room lady needed help with her files, so I helped her with simply putting everything back. My female manager came up to me and handed me a stack of paperwork that I needed to put back in their files. She asked me how I separated them. I told her in two piles by date. She left. So she comes back over and passive-aggressively asks me if I understand what ABC order means. Then she rudely starts trying to teach me how to put things in ABC order. Negroes can't read. She lies and says she will put them back because I am wasting too much time. She leaves and I put them the paperwork in alphabetical order and place it on her desk. The next morning I came back, the same stack was disheveled and mixed around, everything out of place. Nothing was in alphabetical order, and it had my name on it asking me to put them back. Her terrorism towards me is 100% intentional, and she did this on purpose. With, I guess, that sort of thing, if it's you did this work, they're asking you, even though it's not yours or what have you, and you did it, and you're thinking that this was, she deliberately came and messed this stack up, so you'd have to do it again. I would at least, maybe that's something that you can do, photograph that you did the work, you present or placed it wherever it was done, and now it's, you know, totally disheveled, so that maybe that could be something that's pointed out in terms of, I did do this work, and it's almost seeming as though I didn't do this work at all. I invested this time to get the files, you know, correctly organized, and now we have the same disheveled mess. But that might be one for photograph. Continuing, I walked past the same white female manager's desk and saw her looking through my work and all the contracts I did, looking for a mistake. It was so bad, she could not even think straight or be bothered to assist anyone who needed her authorization. She was obsessed with looking for something to abuse me with. She finds a file which I had spoke to the client, but it's not one of my clients, and she tries to attack me. This client belonged to another white employee who made a crucial mistake. She completely ignores all the mistakes just to try and come at me for asking the client for more faxed information. I supposedly missed telling the client a form we needed when, if she actually looked through the contract, the white employee sent it to the black person and terrorizes them about it and blames. I actually overheard her speaking to the black female about it, and the black female was extremely confused. It was as if she tried to convince the black female she was the problem. For these sort of situations, again, I would emphasize making sure you stay calm, especially if you know. Now, this white woman, this is what she does. Every day of the week, the sun cannot set without her using her last ounce of strength to find something that she can chastise and admonish me for. You messed this up. You forgot to put the period on the last sentence here. You know, the water is not wet enough. Anything to, you know, fuss and upbraid me about. So I'm already going to be prepared for that. And if it's something where she's made an error, I'm going to make sure I especially have my emotions under control. And we can just walk through the evidence. And again, the same thing that I said last week, once I see that this is a pattern, we might have to get to the point where we start doing retractions. If it's going to be a pattern of me being accused of things, false allegations, retractions, because I think that will slow that process when they see that you're serious about, you know, being accused of things. Let's have due process and see if that's true. And if it's not, well, let's have a retraction. And it might come to there having to be a written retraction. False allegations are serious. Lastly, she says, my last issue has to do with PTO time. That's policy and procedure. See, the work day is 7.5 hours, including lunch. When we request PTO, we have to put in for 7.5 hours. If it's a half day, it should be 3.75 hours. Every single time I put in for PTO, I am told I did it wrong and need to redo it. I looked at my paperwork logs and can confirm I have to at least delete and redo the hours at least twice for the same day I request hours off. The black male supervisor is the one that reviews the PTO hours, and it never fails, he heavily watches my time. It was only a few days ago I noticed something was wrong. When I would put in for PTO, there would be, on average, instead of 7.5 hours total for the day, it would be 8.5. He never corrects it, although he will have me delete and redo my request at least two times for the days I requested, claiming I did something wrong. There was a period of time where I had to leave work early for medical reasons, and he would put in the time for me, and it would equal 7.5 total hours for the day. Since I have worked here, I have made quite a few complaints on how the PTO accumulation is calculated because I never have enough PTO for anything. Since I have worked here, I have lost so much time due to the overages in requesting a PTO and no one is fixing it. Hopefully I'm explaining this correctly and clearly, but this also is very intentional on their part. When he himself puts the request in on my behalf, he does it correctly, but when I do it, he makes sure to never correct it, only to terrorize me about it while making sure I waste my PTO hours. Now, I do get paid for the overage, but I am wasting my PTO, and this goes back years. I look through the years, and when I initially request PTO, I am right in how many hours I need, but he makes sure to mess it up and causes the overages. I have complained to HR and they just routed everything to him because he is the one who approves everyone's time. Even when he is off, he will call me and do the same, terrorize me about requesting the PTO. The PTO, number one, I would go to policy and procedure. They generally have information. Generally, it'll be an extensive section on PTO. I would also go to human resources about filling out the form and the exact number of hours that we need to fill out the form to get that taken care of. For this to be the something that's coming up and is an issue every time, and it's seeming like maybe for years, it would seem like everyone would want to get this correct one time so that we don't have to keep filling forms out over and over, wasting trees or at minimum time and energy banging on a keyboard or what have you, a screen, to get this done. If everyone else can get the form done one time with no problems, you should be able to do that too. So I would try and get that done. If this is the manager, well, let's have a quick, this seems like something we can nip in 10 minutes. Let's get this done, and even the overages, because this is a problem. If there's a discrepancy between what he's saying and what HR is saying, I would try and point that out. I would bring in, this is what you're saying, and this is what they're saying. They're not the same. There's a discrepancy here. Let's make sure we're in alignment. That's why I said I'd be a stickler about policy and procedure. This is what the policy and procedure says. In accordance with policy and procedure, it says this. You're saying this, and I would point that out with those overages. This is a problem. Let's correct this permanently so we don't have to keep wasting time on this. I don't have to waste your time, my time. We can do this one time and keep it moving forward. And it might even be something, can we see someone else's PTO? Is there someone else, their sheet, when they fill it out? That way, you know, I can do the exact same thing to make sure that it's correct. Everything would be about the rubric of time and energy, not wasting time and energy. We're here. Time is money. One time. Let's see. And also, I would add, again, the same thing. Anytime it's a victim of racism on the job, they may be told to do this directly, indirectly. There may be race soldiers that are not seen who are helping to encourage this misconduct. So very much be mindful of that anytime it's a non-white person who is in the so-called position of being in charge. The last paragraph says, I'm going to report my white female manager for creating a hostile environment. Report her to whom? Question. And I want to know if there's anything I can do about the PTO. Even though I got paid, if I were to work through lunch, my daily hours would be 8 hours. But since lunch is unpaid, the daily hours are 7.5. So I wasted 30 minutes to an hour of PTO. Is there anything I can do about that? As I said, I would want that corrected just so that it, at minimum, my PTO is the same as the way that everyone else is filling out their forms. If everyone else is doing 7.5, then I want to do 7.5 too. It's irrelevant to me. It would be irrelevant whether or not I'm getting paid for that overage. If I'm consistently feeling as though I don't have enough PTO for, you know, things that I need, and I feel like I'm being required to use more PTO than necessary for a standard day off request, I want to do the same thing that everybody else does. Equal protection under the law, exactly what Mr. Fuller talks about. Equal protection. If Sam and Julie, their PTO is 7.5, I want 7.52. I would have policy and procedure in hand as I went about the business of doing that. If folks have recommendations on avoiding having to talk about the vacation that you're going to Africa, if we have suggestions for that and or suggestions on the PTO situation, black supervisor, seems like this person is manipulating the PTO requests and requiring this person to use too much PTO and fussing at them about doing the form correctly over and over again. Folks have recommendations for those situations, or if you have your own personal situation you would like to address, the number to dial 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. First few folks dialed in, if you have a hand up, if you have commentary to share, line should be open. Proceed. Folks that dialed in are spectating. Now, again, to have folks, even if it was two people, I'd be a little suspicious, but to have quite a few folks just hanging out and woo, no one has any suggestions or problems on the workplace, I'm slightly skeptical. However, I will say, if folks have figured out a formula where you are not having any sort of problems in the workplace, things are going well, please let us know how you were able to pull that off. You can dial in and share an update, and you can certainly invest. racism-notes.blogspot.com. racism-notes.blogspot.com. Listener supported counter racist radio. Again, if you have got to that glorious position where you do not have any workplace problems or issues, things are spectacular. They don't mess up your workplace schedule. You come in where you've been working 8 to 5 and you come in and tell you that you have now been switched and you're going to be working 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. That never happens to you. Or we moved your desk. You used to be on the 35th floor. Now you're going to be on basement level 6. Spectacular. We would appreciate a few tidbits on exactly how you were able to accomplish that. If folks also are able to think of any suggestions, if you are taking a vacation and don't want to tell folks that you work with where you're going, suggestions would be great there, as well as the PTO situation where there seems to be a discrepancy. If we have folks who have suggestions, familiarity with those situations, certainly appreciated. Do not be a spectator. Let's see, while folks are taking a few moments, and I guess also it'd be good if we have folks who have suggestions, if you are being sabotaged, because we've heard that from a number of folks. You're in a workplace situation and there's a new white hire and you are being sabotaged in any way, shape, form. That is always appreciated. If people have figured out any suggestions, things that are helpful in dealing with that, because that is so cliche in the system. To have some white person come in, you have to train them, and then they get promoted above you and get to stomp on and mistreat you as they're moving up the ladder. Suggestions on that would be appreciated also. While folks are waiting, I will read another report from a person who wrote in, Kizzy's cousin. She writes, "Last week, I reported a race soldier in the team I work in referred to a non-white female as scatty. You were not sure what it meant, so I provided the definition. Absent-minded, disorganized, unintelligent, mindless, imbecilic, stupid. You get the idea. I also mentioned he referred to her as problematic. In fact, that was my term for the casual and regular denigration of non-white people I witnessed. He actually called her a nightmare, which is even more telling in my opinion." Absolutely. Dark horse, nightmare. Summary of racist activity for the week. Number one, went to a meeting with a suspected racist at the start of the week. He greeted me saying, "The vision of me has made his week." Yikes. And she has cowbell in parentheses. Wowee. I was in the lift with another non-white female and a racist suspect. The non-white female and I were both wearing animal print clothing. No one was speaking, but we were all facing each other without making eye contact. Out of the corner of my eye, I observed the race soldier looking at us from left to right several times. Apparently, the sight of two non-white females in animal print got the better of him, so he had to comment at how wonderful we both looked at how he admired the prints. Two more cowbells, she has in parentheses. Racist male and female in the team, told me how lovely I looked twice this week, each attempted manipulation. Trifling and tacky. Again, I will say I'm not a fan of wearing anything that stands out in the workplace for that reason exactly. I feel like regardless of how lovely you look, it's still a system of racism, white supremacy, and it will invite terrorism from racists. That's been my observation and experience. I would be very muted, conservative, as they say, with attire in the workplace. And even then, you know, that would be my suggestion. Males and females, workplace, very subdued wardrobe. Number two, a non-white female told me she was job hunting as her temporary contract is about to end. There was a vacancy at the company that she's planning to apply for. I offered to help her. I went back to the desk. I've been allocated right on and checked the timeline for the position as I'm about to go on leave. I tried to send her an email, but couldn't see her name in the email system. So I went to tell her allocated desk to speak to her. I told her I could not see her email address. She told me that her name had been spelt incorrectly and that she had trouble getting it changed. She has been working for the organization for the best part of a year, but her manager has not seen the need to resolve the situation, which is very telling, particularly as her contract has been terminated before she gains any permanent employment rights. I've also witnessed the racist female manager mistreat her on more than one occasion. Once for having a conversation with me, apparently her non-white slave was not working hard enough. Terroristic. Right on for helping out other non-white black people in the workplace, or victims of racism. Right on for helping them out in the workplace. But that's pretty, it seems like a standard operating procedure in terms of the lack of regard for correctly naming non-white people. That's why you end up with all these tacky nicknames in the workplace and not calling non-white people by their correct title, not calling them sir, ma'am, not calling them by their last name. That's I can only say with that sort of thing, the quicker that you can catch it, because she said she's been there for almost a year, the quicker that you can catch it, make an issue about that immediately. Think same thing that we've said consistently. If people are not saying your name correctly, if you have to correct them 100 times throughout the year, oh, well, I will go ahead and get my practice in, because that is super important and it should be processed as an act of racism every time. When your name is not spelled correctly, if you have a, you know, something on your desk, a name tag or what have you, and they put it up incorrectly, they're not calling you by your name correctly, this sort of thing, your email name is spelled correctly. Even just thinking about that, people trying to send you information and they can't find you in the company directory. Do you not work here anymore or something of that nature? Tacky. Act of racism. Next. And I guess before I go on, I am, you know, a male victim of racism. If folks have thoughts about the muted wardrobe suggestion in the workplace, you can let me know. But that would be a recommendation I would offer. Number three, a few of us in the team were reviewing applications this week. One race soldier mentioned that someone had lied about some information relating to the organization they work for. My race soldier manager responded that everyone lies in their application and bragged that she would never have the job had she if she did not lie. Hashtag things only a race soldier can say and get away with. Absolutely. I cannot imagine a black person. I can't even imagine when President Obama was in the White House, him being even able to jokingly say something like that. And again, the line, you can tie that to James Loewen, because I've said that's been a major criticism I've had throughout this book, him refusing to just say that white people lie. They lie on such a regular basis. They lie about terrorizing and purging entire towns of black people. Certainly they lie about their applications. We just had that whole college cheating scandal. I mean, duh, of course white people lie about the whole, oh yeah, I graduated from Harvard, top of my class. And where's Harvard at again? What? Michigan? Boston. Yes, yes, master. Yes, yes. Graduated from Harvard, top of my class, and did a little fencing. Whole nine. Mm-hmm. System of racism, white supremacy. Incidentally, that's the sort of thing that I would write down in your workplace journal. You don't have to report it. That's the sort of thing that can just be important 3, 4, 5 years later, even 3 months later. That could be important, and it might even be related to you. It could be a non-white person where there comes, you know, a question about an error on their application, and you can be the one. Hey, remember that conversation that we had back in spring of 2019 where you said that everybody lies on their application, that you in fact said you wouldn't even have your job if you hadn't what did they say, fudged a little bit on your application? Remember that? Could be helpful. I would put that in your workplace journal, something important. And there can be a lot of situations like that where it maybe it's not necessarily that a white person called you a nigger. It's not necessarily that they, you know, said something majorly incorrect or racist or told a racist joke. However, something significant, admitting that, like the caller in Florida, when the white woman said, I love these two white chicks so much that if they committed a murder, I would help them cover it up. Now, that's not workplace racism per se, but I would definitely write that down. We got an officer at the courthouse who has said that they would be a willing accomplice in a murder for their two coworkers. Like, wow, that's I'll write that down. Date, time, might even get that person to initial it. Just being listening and taking those sort of things serious in the workplace, because seriously, you can use that sort of thing down the road. It might come up that that was said. Check in again. Folks have thoughts, comments, suggestions, listeners requested. If you have a suggestion about whether or not or how you would get out of telling your coworkers that you're taking a vacation, you don't want to tell them where you're going, suggestions for that. Suggestions how to deal with discrepancies in PTO, where you are being required to give more PTO than what you would need for a typical workday, and it seems to be different than what others are being required to use. And if we have any thoughts or feedback, this is Gus T's counter-racist suggestion for the workplace, that black males and black females avoid or select more conservative attire, put it that way. Not saying that you have to, you know, look drab in the workplace, although wouldn't have a problem with that, but clean, it is acceptable what you're wearing, but this is not anything that's going to call attention to you. What do folks think about that suggestion for the workplace? Folks who dialed in with a hand up should be with us.
Nellie here.
Greetings, Ivy.
Greetings, Gus, and greetings to all the callers on the line. I listened to the compensatory call-in, I believe it was. It was the book club. So I'm glad that you're back home. I hope that you are as well, and I hope that I wish you the best with that, with just readjusting. I always appreciate Kizzy's cousin's commentary. I find it to be very constructive all the time. I think that I appreciated your advice to the person who was going to the continent, and other, I guess you could say, options if what you suggested, if the white people are not satisfied with that, or if that's not sufficient for them, maybe the person could say, because I can't remember if it was a male or female, maybe the person could say that I have a personal matter to take care of, because that is true. I think as far as the paid time off situation, this, may not be good, but what comes to my mind is to go over different people's heads, like starting with the manager, going over his head. Like, and I know HR is doing that, but I'm saying, and even trying to speak with the person who is over him, because the HR referring the person to this manager is not working, and it hasn't been working, I believe the person said, for years. So even if you have to go as far as the owner or any of that, and emailing them and CCing different people and all of that, as has been suggested in the past, and if, that would, and even with that, I believe that's going over HR's head as well. But this, the next person up, if you have to, or and even maybe speaking with HR about that, no, I don't want to speak to this manager anymore. This has not been working for years, so we need to speak to someone else. I think you spoke about maybe having a meeting with him. That would be good as well, but I'm saying if none of these options, if they don't resolve, the issue, maybe the person could consider that. As far as the wardrobe thing, I think that is very good. And as I always say, if I were working outside my home, which I haven't since for many years, but if I were, I would implement that strategy. And excuse me, interestingly enough, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Even though I don't work outside the home, I implement that strategy everywhere. So if I know that I'm going to a place with a bunch of race soldiers, and even if I have gotten, I guess, unwanted attention or attention that made me uncomfortable, where maybe the race soldiers were speaking to me in a way that, I was uncomfortable with, and I felt that they were just being inappropriate with me, and it seemed to be based on how I looked and things like that. I will never go back to that place in those situations again, and I would even prepare for the future depending on, where I'm going and who's going to be there. And not just my wardrobe, but also my hair, whether or not I will wear earrings, just all types of different things to do exactly what you said, to minimize any attention toward me, and really to try to be as ignored as possible. Of course, I want to get what I want to get and get things taken care of, but to where I can be as less of a distraction as possible, because ultimately I see white people as racist. As racist, but as rapists, and especially white males. And so I really try to adjust my wardrobe and hair and everything else to repel them, for lack of words. And that was it. I'll mute my line. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, guys.
Much obliged, Ivy. Great suggestion, I think, for going to the more powerful whites, or even just the more powerful person, period, who I suspect likely would be someone classified as white, to get the problem solved with the PTO. And that can be a strategy that can work for a lot of different situations. Finding the white person who is most powerful can solve that problem in the least amount of time. Also think the wardrobe, in terms of just being mindful. Racism, white supremacy is war being against us, and just being mindful about what that means in all environments, really. Not just the workplace. We're talking about workplace racism specifically here, but everywhere we go, really. And how much attention do we want with our clothing? Other folks dialed in, again, because we have specific folks requesting counter-racist input on, if you're going to be taking a vacation, how do you suggestions on ways you can avoid telling your coworkers where you're going, what you're going to be doing, suggestions about the PTO situation, if it seems like you're being required to give up, to waste some of your PTO hours, basically, incorrectly. And then thoughts on the wardrobe issue, Gus's suggestion that victims of racism have maybe a more subdued wardrobe for the workplace, for males and females. If we have suggestions on those three, folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open. Give out the number one more time, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Other folks, if you have a hand up, thoughts to share. Certainly, if we have any folks who have any answers or suggestions for the questions, proceed. Folks are still spectating. Again, do find it a little bit suspicious, I am sure. Not all the folks that are listening in are just cruising away on their job and having no difficulties getting all of their promotions. If that is the case, spectacular. I hope it lasts. Again, my only request, take lots of notes so that you can give us details on how you were able to do this. Perhaps some of our other listeners, perhaps they can replicate what you've been able to do in their own work environments. And I guess be mindful if things are working out that well for you. I am sure they are not for other non-white people in your work environment. So at least be mindful of how other non-white people are being mistreated or treated, period. And add that to your workplace racism notes, how you process what's happening on your job as well. Let's see.
I guess.
Oh, yikes. Stacy in the UK joining us live. Get our obligatory timestamp, 2:12 a.m. Saturday morning, UK time. Good to hear from you, Stacy. Your volume is a little low. If you could speak up, please.
Okay. Hello to you, Gus, and to the rest of the callers, listeners, and congratulations on getting back to your permanent residence. I wanted to just respond to the person's query about the holiday. The person is not planning to tell anyone where they're going, and I think you were correct in terms of being careful about posting any information on social media. I would definitely not say anything. I wouldn't even reveal that I had any specific plans at the point of going on holiday. Now, depending on how much melanin this person has, going to Africa, I would imagine, is a lot hotter than where they're currently residing. Potentially not, but highly likely. So if they do return and they're slightly more suntanned than usual, I would just find a location anywhere, whether it's in the US or somewhere that doesn't suggest you've got a lot of money, and just claim that you went to that place. And, you know, if they ask for details, just literally say, oh, I was just lying on, you know, out in the sun somewhere. Don't give any details about how you spent your time, or even, you know, say that you've gone somewhere else in the US and that you were just basically hanging out with your family and sitting out in the gardens, and that's why you're, you know, the tone of your skin has changed. But I would just make up whatever story that doesn't give any details. It is really not worth revealing that you've got enough money to get on a flight and potentially hotels and whatever else all the way to Africa. I've had race soldiers ask me some very bizarre questions about me going to the Caribbean. And at that time, I did actually reveal probably that I was going, or I can't remember if I returned, but probably it was before I was going. Now, my parents come from the Caribbean, so it wasn't a strange thing to reveal. But I know that the race soldier was just trying to pry, but also, you know, I guess that the subtext there was that you have enough money to fly to the Caribbean, even though, you know, the assumption might have been that I was staying with family or whatever. So, you know, it is always an issue, regardless of the logic behind why you might go to a particular place in anywhere else in the world. I've also left the country before, come back, and I said, being heavily suntanned, and not said a word. If anybody can see that I've been suntanned, so what? I would just avoid saying anything. But I'll meet my line there, Gus.
Spectacular. If it's, I don't know how much melanin the person who wrote this has either, but if you think you might get a tan, as they say, exactly what my refrain was, free time and sunshine. I wouldn't even be more specific than that. We just hung out, spent some time with the family, did some yard work, time outside, free time, sunshine, and leave it at that. Before I get to other folks who dialed in, I forgot. I did talk to quite a few victims this week in moving, my sojourn, all of that. Not that I moved that far. Every time, workplace racism came up. So next conversation, victim of racism, he is hiring, or he's exiting a workplace. There's a new non-white person who's coming in to start working there. So they're kind of working together as they transition separately in different directions. And they're getting information done. They're working late in the evening. And someone comes up with the worst idea ever. Hey, we should have a few drinks since we're working late to help us get through this. Alcohol never makes things better. Certainly not in the workplace. Long story, they have drinks, get their work done. Unfortunately, the victim of racism whose transition means that they are starting this job and their first official day is the next morning, that victim of racism, you know what happens when you drink too much? Hangover, likely that you could oversleep, and that is exactly what happened. So the previous, or the non-white person who was transitioning out, had to present an alibi, and, you know, I compensated her and basically forced her to come in and stay late to help me get this work done. And, you know, she's a student also. She's just really tired. So, I mean, stand up with him to try to do that. But, I mean, in a lot of different situations, that easily could have been enough to be your, this is going to be your first and last day, hit the road, especially for a black person. So I can only emphasize sobriety would be best. If you are starting a new job, or even if you have a job, you're new on a job, maybe you should reconsider if someone suggests
maybe we get a drink the night before you go in on your new job. No thanks. I'm going to be sober. Make sure that I can get up in the morning. Mr. Fuller talked about that. He emphasized that. Being on time, that's one of the easiest ways. They want to get rid of a black person, get rid of a non-white person. Oh, you were 30 seconds late today. Sorry. Gonna have to give you a pink slip. It's, times are tough. It's so competitive, but you got to be on time. We got to be sticklers about people being on time for work. Sorry. Just 30 seconds, too. Darn. Be on time. Be on time. Be on time. And at least I can speak for myself. Oversleeping, that is a big contributor to people being on time. Other folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up, again, if you have any folks have any suggestions for, let's see, the questions that we have about how to not talk about the vacation, problems with PTO, kind of wearing a more subdued wardrobe, if folks have responses to any of those queries or your own situation, proceed.
Can I be heard?
Greetings, retired firefighter.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings, everyone. I would first start off by saying that the workplace primarily is an environment for observation. The white people that's in the workplace primarily are observing you, either writing it down or making mental notes of your habits. So I would suggest the earlier that you establish yourself in a codified counter-racist manner, the better off you are. Now, I'm not saying that it's impossible to have a particular type of habit that is not counter-racist, and you go about the means of changing it. I'm not saying it's impossible to do, but it would be quite more proficient to come into employment in that mode, to establish that consistency. So right into uniform, establishing a uniform that is adequate for the job based on hopefully your own personal understandings of something constructive and professional, and definitely would pass the test based on that particular job. That it would almost be like you are invisible as far as anyone having any type of impression of you. No words at all. Lead the goal home, shining things as far as they're concerned. I wouldn't even wear a watch because, I mean, your phone could tell you your time, you know, as far as they're concerned nowadays. But those are just some things. Definitely nothing with words on it. That's making some type of expression, something with some sort of popular or non-popular logo on it, other than if concerning the job directly. That is an official uniform of your employment. With vacations, establish that right from the start. That is totally private. Probably the only person that would know when your vacation is happening would be the one or two people who that's a part of their job to have to know that on your vacation. No one else would know it, white or non-white, as far as they're concerned. And definitely... the concerns about courtesy would be from the standpoint of being helpful for coworkers with other coworkers, white or non-white, and that's it. You don't owe them anything else as far as they're concerned. So, as I mentioned before, but you have to establish that coming into the employment. Anything otherwise would just make it more and more difficult, because it would be observed of the change, and from that you will get asked questions about that. Why did you change? You know, as far as they're concerned, white people are very, very observant, you know, in that light. I used to do some things, and I never would suggest that people do some of the things that I have done over those 28 and a half years, but I would do some things just to get a white person to say something, because I know that's what they would do. But in order to have the most constructive, fluid time on your workplace, you have to establish those things at the beginning of your employment. Do not inform someone about when your vacation takes place, let alone talking about where you're going. And definitely be guarded on your tone of dress, what's on your body as far as quote unquote jewelry is concerned, and any type of strange thing, like, you know, dyeing your hair. You know, I'm not just talking about females either. If you're a black male and you have gray hair, you know, and you dye it, you dye your mustache or something like that. You know, I mean, just leave it alone. You know, leave it alone. You know, and it would reduce the chance of it coming up, because they will file it. They will file it. The white people will file it, and it will be used against you. I have seen it. I've seen a fire chief, a person that was promoted to fire chief, get demoted because of a vacation, and due to Hurricane Andrew, did not report back at what they identified as a appropriate time. Several non-white black people were demoted because of their vacation. And that's all I'd say. Thank you.
Always find a reason to demote a black person. Much obliged, retired firefighter. With the wardrobe, I certainly appreciate the specifics about, you know, the jewelry and that sort of thing. Any sort of items that are going to draw attention to you. I guess I have a quick question. With the dying, because you said that, like, with black males, if they, you know, dye their mustache, what have you, if they're starting to get a little bit of gray, why is that a recommendation? That you have a lot of people, white and black, who say, hey, you know, I'm human. I have some sensitivities. I don't want to look like a geezer. You know, I want to get those grays out of there. That way I still look like, you know, I got my vitality and I'm a young fella. How's that violating counter-racist code? Or how would that possibly cause me more problems with suspected racists just because I choose to get rid of my grays?
I would say it would just draw attention that doesn't directly deal with job performance being courteous on the job. It'd be just something that somebody can pick at you on, you know, that sort of thing. I would avoid it. It's not necessarily just the idea of taking care of the grit. Some people would even go to the point of, a school is the workplace, a lot of cases for quote unquote children. And I'm seeing now where young people now are dyeing their hair purple, you know, that sort of thing. That's their workplace. I would not advise a young person to do that. You know, so I'm not just talking about somebody who's 50 years old, you know, that sort of thing. It could be somebody 16. You know, I wouldn't advise that, to dye your hair green or purple or something like that. You know, because it would just kind of like take off course the the direction that you would want to probably want to have on a job, which is straight, you know, getting your work done, getting off, getting your raises, you know, the same things you talk about all of the time. You know, it may divert from that, and now you'll get teasing. You'll get teasing, and now and you may not want that. Now whether you, now if you want it now you come and show up to work like a, looking like a clown, you know, something like that. You'll definitely get attention. That's for sure. I've seen it. I've had to tell a black male one time, not tell, but ask a black male one time to please don't put on that gorilla mask as he was going into a battalion meeting. Why? Because I know that the whole idea about him wearing that gorilla mask with the racist jokes and racist comments will come up, and I will feel compelled to have to defend him. And I asked him in a way and looked him straight in the eye. He looked at me and saw my sincerity and thought about it and said, I'll put it back up. And I was like, ooh, thank you that he didn't do that. You know, something as silly as that with this gorilla mask that he was going to go into this group meeting and wear. But, I've seen a lot over the course of time. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Much obliged.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Context of white supremacy. Again, the number 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Much obliged for the folks who have dialed in and shared thus far. Other folks, if you dialed in, have thoughts, comments, questions, and again, if we have suggestions, since there are a variety of listeners who ask for feedback, if we have counter-racist suggestions and/or updates. Always appreciate folks if you dialed in to tell us about a situation. If you have an update, we always appreciate those. So we are all still learning, supposed to be, about what works, what does not, with regards to applying counter-racist strategies in the workplace. Other folks we've yet to hear from, have comments or suggestions, proceed.
Wow. Can I add on one more thing, Gus?
Let's hear it, retired firefighter.
Yes, there is also a bad habit that I notice with people employed that would come to the job on their off day wearing something purposely that would draw attention. That's another huge mistake I've seen over the course of time in employment. On a day that they are off and show up there with you know, as though they're going to a club or something like that. Big no-no. You know, avoid that. Thank you.
Sounds like show-offism. I believe that is what Mr. Fuller has written about and talked about. Certainly avoid that. I can't say I have seen that one a lot. People coming in wearing, I guess, what they're going to go to the club in or whatever, coming in on their day off. I can say I have seen some folks do that, come in to malinger on their off day. Yes, find better ways to invest your time and energy than coming out to hang out on work premises when you are not paid to be there. I don't think that is a good look. And talk about surveillance. I definitely think whites would be paying attention to that big time. Everything, what you're wearing, what you're doing, what are you talking about, why are you here, all of the above. So, yeah, I would find someplace else to hang. Go to the library. Find some literature to read. Let's see. Irie in Louisiana, did you have suggestion, comment, question that you wanted to share? You should be with us as well.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Hi, Gus. I just got on the line. I thought about you today because I taught today and people were kind of looking at what I was wearing. It was school appropriate. But I decided, you know what, I'm tired of getting looks either way. Like, I don't know, you know, what I'm being looked at for, if it's criticism or admiration. And I'm also tired of white women asking me where I got my clothing items from. So I said, you know, Gus is right. I need to get a uniform. And, like, I think I might do something like Janelle Monáe, just a white top with black bottoms. I want to be as boring as possible when these people see me again. And I was going to ask what the suggestions were that were needed. I thought I heard something about braids.
About braids? Is that what you said? Braids?
Braids. Like somebody said that their hair was... I thought I heard that when I first got on, but I didn't hear the whole sentence. Something about their hairstyle or something?
Let's see. We have had queries for how do you avoid telling white people that you're taking a vacation? Let's see. We had one that was for PTO, being a consistent problem with PTO where this non-white person was being required to use extra PTO. And just lots of difficulties being chastised about filling out PTO forms. So that was another. We had another one. I said about, that was when I started with and saying more muted attire. We had a person write in who was talking about how they got lots of unwanted attention from whites as they were going into work. In fact, it wasn't just them. It was two black females who had on really nice outfits. And the whites, oh my gosh, that's the most stunning thing I've seen today. And just all of, repeatedly from lots of different whites throughout the day. And that just kind of reminded me about what I've been saying about maybe we should have a more subdued wardrobe for the work environment. And I asked people what they thought about that suggestion. So you were right on time with that one.
Oh, okay. And I agree because especially white women, tacky, trashy. They go out of their way to, with me at least, oh, I like that such and such girly. And I'm like, no, that's not professional. And just because you like what you see me in doesn't mean, no, even if we were friends, I don't know if I'd accept girly. It reminds me too much of Chrissy and all the other slave names they have for us. So I agree with you, and I hope they take you up on your suggestion about career attire, and I'll mute my line in case somebody, you know, has something I can help with.
Much obliged, Irie. See, I mean, even that, like the compliments on wardrobe, I'm not here to be looking cute. That's not what I'm being paid for, and frankly, from whites, we're in a workplace setting. Not that I'm looking for compliments, but if it's going to be compliments about anything, I'd rather have compliments about my work. Like, wow, the reports you handed in last quarter, they were amazing. That is the most impressive thing that I've seen this year. Like, I would much rather have that, and let's get that in writing. Put that in my performance review. Put that down so that when it's raise time, it's on and popping. I got some good things that were said about me. Not, wow, you looked amazing yesterday. Wow, so radiant. Can I get a picture? Where did you get that outfit? Come on. I mean, sometimes you can't even tell. Like, they're deceptive, the racism. You can't even tell. Is this serious? Are you joking? Like, what's... Back to these expense reports. And I'm still having problems with my PTO. Can we get that corrected? Like, I feel like that's much, much more important. And really, it shouldn't even really be much of a concern to me. How whites think about my attire or wardrobe. If they think I'm a snappy dresser, if I dress too nice, they might think that they're overpaying me. I don't dress well enough. Oh, the niggers. Oh, disgraceful. So you can't win. Pick something that, in my view, pick something that's professional and something where you don't have to invest a lot of time and energy thinking about what you're going to wear. Bam. This is my wardrobe. I wear this exact same thing. Boom. This is what I'm going to wear to work. Not even concerned that because I'm not trying to look cute. I'm not trying to impress them with my attire. If anything, I'm trying to impress them with the quality of my work. context of white supremacy. Other folks who dialed in, if you have comments, questions to share, thoughts on the wardrobe suggestion, certainly, or any of the other issues that have been presented, proceed.
I've Gus.
Stacy in the UK.
I didn't fully understand.
Your volume dropped again?
Sorry. I didn't fully understand the PTO issue. Can you just quickly summarize what happened? Or the query that they've got?
A black female listener. She has a black male supervisor who seems to make it very difficult when she requests time off. And it seems that for their standard work day, the general protocol for everyone else seems to be 7.5 hours is a full work day. That would be what you would be required to submit to get your full compensation for that day of paid time off. You're not going to work. For some reason, she is being required to submit 8 hours of PTO, so it's more than what she should be using. And she's saying that she's having a problem having enough PTO anyway. And her black supervisor is saying that she's filling out the form incorrectly, so that this has been a pattern. Every time she has to fill out the form, oh no, you did it wrong, and then she has to come and do it again. And this does not seem to be an issue for anyone else. She's gone to human resources and they redirect her back to her supervisor to say to address the issue with him. So she's trying to figure out what would be the best way to solve this problem permanently.
Yeah, HR's being a bit lazy there. If she is actually already logging her hours on a form, because that's what I would have suggested, I'm assuming it's a she, then the hours are being logged anyway. So I just don't understand how this person can get away with making her do excessive hours. But I think it's been said before in that instance, I would escalate it to a director or somebody and I would put it in writing. And I would probably have a record of how many times that she has been required to work additional hours, so actually log in the additional time, the accumulative amount of extra time that she's had to work, because effectively they're underpaying her. And just double check the policy. I'm sure it's in writing anyway that it's 7.5 hours, but you know, just actually say how much extra time accumulatively she's been asked to work. And it's not exactly the same situation, but I had a director who needed to sign off my expenses. And so long as you claim your expenses in year, so within the financial year, there should be no issue. I mean, we all knew that we had to make sure that we had claimed everything within the financial year, just to keep everything within the allocated budget for the year. And rather than waste time, my time, completing the forms on a weekly basis or monthly or quarterly basis, I just used to wait for the end of the year to submit my expense claim. And I had all of the back in documentation, so all my travel tickets, receipts, whatever, so there was no query about, you know, the validity of my claim. I guess the accumulative amount was too much for this director to bear, so he told me that he didn't think he could pay it. So I just emailed him back and asked him to let me know who I needed to escalate the matter to, and needless to say, it was signed off immediately. So it can work by just escalating, because clearly that person is in the wrong, her manager is in the wrong, she's being mistreated, and you know, obviously that is something that could be challenged legally. I'm not saying she should do, but you know, come on now. She's being made to work she's being underpaid, full stop. But I'll meet my line there, Gus.
Much obliged, Stacy in the UK. I think that's a fantastic suggestion as well, to escalate, finding generally it's going to be the more powerful white person. And in this case, since she's got a black supervisor who's doing this directly, it probably will be someone classified as white that this will be escalated to. So, yeah, I think that's always a great suggestion, because the goal, at least in my view, is find the white person who can solve this problem quickly. We want efficiency. Find the white person who can get this problem solved in the next 5 minutes. And so we never have this issue again. PTO is 7.5 hours, and this is how you fill out the form. This is it forever. We will send out a mass email or whatever it is, circular, if it changes. Agreed? Whoopee. And that'll be the end of it. And I think some of that is just black self-respect. What Stacey in the UK just said when doing her end of the year expense reports, and the person, I don't know, not going to be able to cover this. I don't know. And just saying, oh, okay, because I think they bank on, in the system of racism, white supremacy, we're not going to question a white person. We're just going to accept, you know, what they say, and that'll be that. To have black self-respect to say, no, this is not accurate, and okay, who should I talk to about this matter? Because I do not think this is correct. Next person to speak to. And some, as she said, sometimes that alone can be enough to, the Negro won this one. We'll get her next time. Context of white supremacy. Other folks who dialed in, if you have commentary to share, suggestions on the PTO, vacation, any of the other issues that have been raised, or if you have your own problem that you want to address, get counter-racist suggestions, proceed.
May I be heard?
Greetings, caller in Florida.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. My first incident report from the week is there was a newsletter within the last year that I remember. I forgot to share it. It was a particular page where they do the milestones and the amount of years the employees work there. And I noticed that it was a stark difference where one of the administrative white people, they were taking an image, like a picture, to show that they either made 5 or 10 or 15 years. I think this white woman had 10 years. And you can see he's visibly smiling with the white woman. But when he took a picture with the black female and two other black females, he wasn't smiling. He had like kind of like a subtle, sinister smirk. I'm going to term it as that. But with the white woman, he's actually smiling, like smile creases on both ends of the lip. So that was one that was pointed out to me by a black female victim. My next one is, there was a black male that came in to the customer service area where we are. And I could tell by the white woman and the black female, their heads looked down like beneath the monitors, almost like they didn't even want to help the person out. So the white woman ends up, I guess, helping him out. And as he leaves, I mean, he was just saying good morning, but he was preemptively rejected in a way that they didn't want to help the person out. So they were saying, well, oh, you know, I'm not ready for that this morning. So she said, the black female was like, oh, you know, I'm just going to just look down, not even going to acknowledge him. All right. So she was like, yeah, I know you was thinking that, so I just decided to take him. That was just like a brief exchange that I couldn't help but overhear. My next one is, there was a meeting that occurred this morning where there was a certain portion of it where the supervisors are asked to share if they have anything, if they want to speak on anything. So when it gets to the supervisor I've been assigned to, she speaks, and she's speaking about the image project that we've been working on. So I pay very close attention to words. And she says, you know, I just like to thank research. She says research, which is a vague general term. And she goes on the list individual employees after that, like on the other side of the department. She's listing actual first names of people. So I'm exhibiting certain body language as I'm really just absorbing this in. And she, I think, practiced racism when she did that. And as the meeting ended, the black male was like, well, you know, that's it. Hopefully they have that part on their end where they say, if you have anything to share, you can go right ahead and speak. So two black people, they had to rush in a comment as though everyone was leaving. They had to come on back because the black female was like, she just wanted to thank everyone for signing a card. And thanks for the condolences because she lost her brother. Okay, so she wasn't given a chance to speak. And another black female, she was, she said something that was similar, like, thank you all for sending out a card. But it was very tacky and it was unprofessional, lacking the etiquette. They were supposed to have that at the end, but they are so concerned about me, I think, that they extracted that out of the meeting repertoire. So I made a comment about that. I requested to speak to the supervisor, and I said, you use the term research in reference to us, but you individualized everyone else. And she was like, so you know why I did that? And she said that she didn't want to leave anybody out. But that didn't make any sense to me, because I said, well, when you said that, I had the thought of, am I being mistreated? Because I didn't want to use the word feelings. I wanted to use thought, like thinking. So she couldn't say that my feelings were hurt or something like that. And yeah, she basically said that she didn't have anything in front of her and she apologized. So I'm thinking, you need something in front of you to remember two or three people's names? That's what I said internally. So my next one is, I had another term. This is word number four. It's called emotional reaction pattern recognition, ERPR. And the explanation is, or the definition, the strategy of an employee that knowingly mistreats another employee in such a way that appeals primarily to the rage aspect of their feelings. This can be perpetuated directly and or indirectly, as well as where the intended targeted employee is expected to react with their feelings immediately. I can only logically conclude that this is being done in order to sabotage the targeted employee. This practice can coerce the receiving employee in a stress-inducing situation, especially when a mistreated employee has faced a series of misconduct from the initiating employee. And it begins to fester. Eventually, this at some point will cause an outburst and could be addressed by higher tier staff about their outburst of emotion. As a result, it becomes expected for the targeted person to react and respond to mistreatment with their feelings of frustration, anger, stress, and any like form of emotion. So that was a recent term that I came up with. And that's all I have for now. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Much obliged, caller in Florida at the courthouse. That is such an important distinction in thoughts, not feelings, in the workplace. I think that is so important. Exactly as the caller in Florida stated, didn't want her to just say, oh, you poor thing, your feelings were hurt. We're so sorry. You got a little boo-boo. We said something that made you sad. They just treat us like little children. And that's not what this is at all. I'm not, my feelings were not hurt. I'm just thinking, am I being mistreated? That is the way that we want to function in the workplace. And they
will use words to push us in that direction, to kind of infantilize us, to minimize when we're being terrorized on the job. It'll be, you have a grievance, you have a gripe, your feelings were hurt, there was something that was insensitive. They'll use this type of language instead of, there was a violation of company policy. Stark contrast. I thought that was an important distinction as well. The suspected racist having like an authentic jubilant smile when with the white women, and then when it's with the non-white females, kind of a smirk or half smile, like a distinct difference, that not that authentic joy, like, eh, I guess I gotta be, all right, fix your time, get in with the niggers, eh. All right. Making up new counter-racist terms to apply to what happens in the workplace, phenomenal. All of us should be doing the exact same thing, trying to come up with new concepts to capture what we are seeing. If I got it correct, ERPR, emotional reaction pattern response, is that it?
Emotional reaction pattern recognition.
Pattern recognition. Okay. Pattern recognition and trying to provoke generally a victim, non-white person, into some sort of emotional outburst where then they can be scolded, reprimanded, punished in some sort of way after they've been provoked. Is that the spirit of the term?
Yes, sir.
I think lots of us have seen this on the job. Name calling, a variety of different ways. Whites, this is a big one that they invoke on a regular basis to do things to us, to get us so that, oh my gosh, I can't believe what is wrong with you. You're yelling and running around with you. Oh, we can't have that. Well, he called you a nigger. Well, he shouldn't have called you a nigger, but we still can't have you running around here and yelling. So we'll have racial sensitivity. And unfortunately, I think we're going to have to lay you off because we just can't have folks on it. I didn't even feel safe. We had some black person running around in the workplace and, you know, we didn't feel safe. That's just, you can't have that in the workplace. They do this all the time. They got lots of different ways of doing this. Excellent term. Now that we have a name for it, I'm sure we'll be able to point that out and use the term as we see it.
Gus, may I ask him a question, please?
Let's hear it. This is Irie in Louisiana.
So it wasn't necessarily a workplace thing. Well, technically it was. I was doing pro se work during a lawsuit. And the day of a hearing, I went up. I was in the courtroom. I walked up to the clerk, a white female, old white female, with my motion to give to her so it would be, you know, ready for the judge. I wanted her to put the stamp on it. And she mouthed off as she gestured with her body, go away. And so I told her, you know, with my voice, well, I said, I want to file this. I want to give it to you so the judge can have it when I can't go up. And she said, go downstairs, like she mouthed it off. So basically saying I had to go down to the clerk's office downstairs. And I'm like, everyone else, from what I knew, was able to file things, you know, in the courtroom if necessary. And then later someone told me, I can't remember who or where, they were like, oh, no, you're only supposed to file your motions and anything else in the clerk's office if you're not an attorney. And I have not known that to be true, and I tried looking up court procedure to see if it's true. And I know you're in a different state, but can you tell me, based on like what you do know in general, if that's true or not? Thank you.
Yes, from my understanding, I believe for the most part they do the motions and filings at like the front counter when they're dealing with the clerks, but I have heard of it happening up in court as well, but I'm not sure on like how split down the middle, not trying to use a metaphor, but when it comes to one situation or another, how often it happens, but for the most part, I have heard of people come in to file paperwork for their cases with the clerks at the front counter.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I kind of feel like she was practicing racism. I do, because my experience has been when you self-represent, when you pro se, for some reason, clerks, white and non-white, in my experience, they've been visibly upset at me because I'm representing myself. Thank you for that information. I'll delve more into it. And when I find the answer, I'll let you know as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Context of white supremacy. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Tackiness at the courthouse abounds. Emphasize again to make sure you have read policy and procedure on your job. Can have lots of helpful information that whites will not tell you. And it can just inform you of how they're violating policy and procedure on the job. That can be something else. In fact, that should be something else that you're being mindful of in your workplace. Other folks have questions, suggestions, comments on what they've heard from other folks so far.
I wanted to say that I think that the black man manager who is mistreating the woman with the paid time off, it seems to me that he knows how to function in the workplace. I know of these other black people, they were actually on a radio show and they were interviewing some people. And it was, and I've seen this a lot actually, where it's just obvious, like in the arts, like if they're on television or whatever it might be, or if they're on the radio or whatever it might be, it's like the way that they mistreat non-white people, the way that they treat them, they treat them like white people want them to treat them. And it's like they do it so in such a fluid manner that it seems that it's not just about the white people telling them to do this, that, or the other, but they know what to do to try and keep their jobs. And the reason I say try is because white people turn around and fire you anyway, turn around and fire black people anyway. But also, just the particular mistreatment that is taking place, it has just white fingerprints all over it. Because white people, they tend to, that's one of the main ways in the workplace that they practice racism, is they try to deny you paid time off, or they try to just do something regarding that with vacation and sick time or whatever it might be that you need. They try to deny you in some kind of way. And so even more than him just knowing what to do, I think that it's probably a situation where they told him specifically to do what he's doing, and he's doing it, to survive. And that's what I think in terms of that. And also just the fact that both him and human resource, the people in human resources, the non-white people in human resources, if there are any, they have been allowed to do this. And I doubt very seriously, and I would even say I know, that they would not be allowed to do this to a white person. Like, this would be taken care of immediately. And so that's why I think that That's why I'm convinced that white people are behind all of this. And the last thing that I wanted to say is that I hope that everyone has the best weekend that they can have. And I'll mute my line.
Context of white supremacy. Much obliged, Ivy. That is a point I think is important to be mindful of at all times. Who is most to blame when incorrect things are happening? And 10 times out of 9, that's the way I meant to say it. Individuals classified as white, most to blame. And agreed, this would not, I don't think a white person, he would be allowed, a black supervisor, in quotes, would be allowed to treat a white employee in this manner, to just mess over their PTO and all of that. Exactly right. I don't think that would be allowed for a white person. A white employee would have to be going through all of this. Other folks who dialed in, if you have questions, comments, suggestions on what has been shared thus far, line should be open. Proceed. Caller at 2215, line should be open.
Yes, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings, everyone. Just joined, so I didn't catch any of the other comments or questions earlier. But I did want to just share some thoughts of, as a manager on my job, we had to recently participate in online training that had to deal with discrimination, sexual harassment, harassment in the workplace, bullying, as well as hiring practices. So as a manager, you know, if we were to be involved in interviews and all of things, that's safe to share or safe to ask in some of those type of interviews. And it also addressed if you were one that experienced any harassment or any type of discrimination, any type of jokes, things of that nature, of racial jokes, things that you could do as a as an individual or as a manager, so as well. They said three things. One would be to either ignore it. Another would be to divert it. So if someone was, you know, had made a joke or something, to kind of just do, say something or ask a question, excuse me, or say something, to do something that's totally unrelated to that topic, just to try to divert the focus there. And then the last option would be is to address it. So, and when they gave some examples of addressing it, it always was kind of in the form of a question. So, for example, there was a group of people that they showed, one black, one Asian, one looks like a possibly Eastern Indian, and one white gentleman. And they were all supposed to be going on a company trip. And one, the Indian person said, oh, well, you know what, we can all, you know, kind of ride together. And he looks to the white man and says, well, you know, would you like to ride with me to the airport? And he looks at him and says, no way, me riding with you, we walk into the airport together, and you're a Muslim? They pull me aside and, you know, hold me up in security. He says, no way, I wouldn't. No way would I do that. And so they gave different scenarios of, again, either saying nothing or diverting it or addressing it. And so the option of addressing it, actually the person, the black man, kind of spoke up and said, really, seriously, you know, are you going to be that guy? You know, so being a question, forming it as a question, as like, you know, and not really coming right out and saying to the person, you shouldn't have said that, or that was wrong for you to do that. But again, just kind of posing that question, just kind of left it at that. But it also said on any of those situations, you should always report it to to HR or to the upper management or whoever. One of the other things that it addressed, that if you were one that was being accused of harassing someone or discriminating against someone, whatever, if there's a case against you, then one of the things that you should, and you are aware of that, and one of the things that it should do, that you should do going forward, is to make sure you document everything. So any conversations concerning that person, anything, document everything. So I found that interesting, because I know that you've brought that up quite a few times about documenting things. And the last thought. One of the other things it was saying that, you know, if you do report something, then you can make a report and it will be confidential. But then it did say if an investigation was to occur, that we couldn't promise that you would be kept confidential. And it's like, well, gee, well, what's the use then? You know, that's what I'm saying to myself once I saw that. Well, it's confidential, but if an investigation took place, then we can't promise you that you would be kept confidential. So I just found those things to be interesting concerning, you know, again, since racism was brought up, discrimination, harassment. And the last, I just want to add one more thing. And that is, again, when it comes to interviews as a manager, so they gave a whole list. I mean, there was about a good 20 or so different items of risky things to stay away from. So you couldn't ask questions. They would say, don't ask questions related to age, race. Ask questions about, you know, any drug addictions of the past, nor any family-related illnesses, the age of your children. If you know of a foreign language, you couldn't ask, how did you get to learn that language? And so the bottom line is not asking anything that's not related to the job, because they don't want to have any room or any opportunity for a person to be able to come back and say, I wasn't hired because of some type of discrimination. So that whole, you know, whole list of things were listed there, where, again, if it was not job related, then you can't ask that question. So I find those things to be interesting. And I did take a lot more notes, but I don't have all the other notes with me, and I'll come back another time and share some more.
Much obliged for the notes. I think it's always fascinating. I think the caller at the courthouse in Florida talked about when they had some sort of diversity meeting. It's always interesting when they have those at work. You should definitely take questions. And really, that's a great opportunity to get practice asking questions. Take notes and ask at least one question, maybe two or three, because that is an environment that is begging for questions. A lot of times they'll ask you directly, do you have any questions? And if so, speak up, like ask questions and ask questions and make sure that they answer your question. Like, you can get to hear what some of your white colleagues think about racism in a real frank manner, maybe. But I think it is not surprising that one of the main strategies that they would recommend would be ignoring it. I don't think that counts as a strategy. In my view, that just strengthens white supremacy racism, because I think most often race soldiers, they just go ahead and accept silence as acceptance, and that you concur. Matter of fact, as you concur, you are in agreement. It has to be flagrantly challenged. And this is a violation, like those racist jokes and all that. This is a violation of company policy. Like, I don't think the example that I would give is ignoring it. If this was sexual harassment, someone has been patted on the behind or, you know, whatever it is. Is that something where we ignore that happened? We just ignore it. I'll report that later. What happened to Susan? Really? They were stealing office equipment. We ignore it. Come on now. Racism, white supremacy. That's the only violation of policy and procedure that I can think of where it becomes, oh yeah, just, you know, maybe we ignore it. Made his racist joke. Mm-hmm. What'd you say about the niggers? Mm-hmm. Okay. Next item on the internet. Come on. Come on, come on. System of racism, white supremacy. That would even be a question that I would raise. Do we ignore other problems in the workplace? Is that how things get solved here, just to ignore?
Well, can I just add real quick to that? So any of the options there, the ultimate result would be, or the ultimate action is, even if you did any of those three, they would require or suggest, well, not even suggest, ask that you report it. So even if you ignored it, still report it.
I reckon.
And it was an online type of training. So there wasn't an open group type where you can ask questions and others could hear.
Oh, okay. Thank that. Definitely helps get a better understanding of what right. What took place. I didn't want to forget either the point that you made towards the end about them saying that there's supposed to be confidentiality. If you make a report that there's been some sort of incorrect behavior, perhaps an act of white supremacy, racism. However, if this process continues, well, then we might not have confidentiality. And in my view, you should just automatically, your opinion, as I said before, exact same thing that we say every week, you should automatically assume anything that you say, there will be a transcript, maybe even an audio recording of every single syllable that you utter, and everyone who works there will have a copy. It'll be online, any language you need it in, all of that, Braille even, got it covered. That's the way you should think so that there's no surprise. And you should be mindful of that before you go make your report. Like, not only could this procedure take years, but this could be something where everybody in the building will likely know. Am I all right with that?
You know, and if you don't mind, if I can just add a little more. So, you know, with this training, so again, being that managers, middle managers, low-level managers had to participate. So they look forward to the managers to create this type of safe environment. So, you know, in other words, it's up to us to report these things, you know, as managers. But again, can't promise confidentiality.
Certainly not in the system of racism, white supremacy, white people. What is it? Unjust networking. They do a lot of unjust networking and sharing information on the Negroes. So absolutely, they are not going to tell you any sort of thing about confidentiality. Please, we'll be texting it up as soon as we get out of this meeting if it seems a little shaky. Did other folks have commentary? I also didn't make sure I didn't want to forget the caller in Florida when he pointed out that they were not recognized by name, because that's been a pattern this evening as well. We had the where he talked about specifically the caller in Florida at the courthouse saying that the black female, she didn't have her email, wasn't registered in the computer correctly, and it was difficult to get contact with her. Oh, no. Apology, that was not our caller in Florida. A different listener was talking about that act of racism. We talked about that repeatedly, but when caller in Florida was saying that they were just addressed as research as opposed to all of the individuals who are a part of the research team, I think that is super important. And it's been my experience that white people generally do not need a list in front of them of employees, people that work there, people that you see every day. And God, heaven's sake, they got a newsletter at the courthouse there. I mean, you got these people's pictures on display and such for their accomplishments for the month of the year, whatever they did. Like, really? You needed a list of research people's names, and you think that you would have forgotten, so you just went with the generic research as opposed to naming us, which you didn't do for anybody else. I reckon. And again, just the power, because I've seen that consistently. When you talk about United Independent, do not minimize the impact that one codified individual can have. It is absolutely amazing. And for me, that is just further evidence this problem can be solved. One Negro making an effort to follow logic, counter racist logic, is causing this much of a response. You all are changing meetings and functioning in a way that I do not ever see racists function. Wow. If this problem could not be solved, I don't think this would be happening. It would just be, oh, wow, we have got a really kooky Negro here. Wow, let's hang out and listen to him for a while. That's not what they do.
Do we have other folks who had suggestions, comments, workplace racism? Any suggestions on what we've heard thus far, your own problem? We have any folks who've implemented, or I'll say it this way, have any folks altered how they dress in the workplace? If you, you know, are not working from home, have you changed how you dress in the workplace as a result of getting a different understanding of racism, white supremacy, and or comments that have been made, like we what we heard from Kizzy's cousin and from some of the other folks about how Irie in Louisiana, things being said to them about their even quote unquote compliments. Have any folks changed their workplace attire as a result of their understanding of white supremacy, racism? Spectating. Anywho, as I said, the broadcast is not for spectators. We'll be here tomorrow for the compensatory call in 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Dial in if you have thoughts, comments on what has taken place over the past week. We'll certainly get a word in on the passing of John Singleton, age of 51. Total disgrace. But that'll be tomorrow. Once I get adjusted, we'll be looking to get rolling. More work, lots of guests, folks recommended, and just work in general. Wow, it has been a stressful 17 months. Let's see. We'll give another 5 minutes or so if folks have any additional comments, suggestions, questions that they would like to share. I'll give out the number one more time. 605-313-5164. The code 564-3#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I think I heard Stacy in the UK, Russell, 3:20 a.m. Saturday morning, London time.
Hi, Gus. I actually just wanted to comment on Irie's son's workplace racism, his experience with his teacher sexually terrorizing him, or trying to at least objectifying him. I guess my comment is to everyone listening, just to be very mindful of these situations, as much for our daughters as well as our sons. My daughter had told me about her, a friend of hers, a male, who I don't know if he was in care, but certainly, maybe at some point he was in care, but oh no, he had to go to special education. I guess he was having difficulties at home and it was affecting him in his education. And so in that institution, it was apparently a regular thing for females to be sexually active with female teachers, being sexually active with the young males in particular. And I actually used to work with young people, and I mean, it was males and female, to be honest with you, who were being inappropriate. But there was I had to raise an issue about something a male had said to me about one of the young people we were working with, which was very suspect to me. And then out of that conversation, because I raised it with the coordinator, and out of that conversation, I was then told about another female race soldier who I was also working with, was apparently at the time 32 years old, had a 16-year-old son, and was at some point in a sexual relationship with one of the young people who used to come into the centre, was also 16 years old. Now, the age of consent is different in the UK. So technically, that would have been legal. However, imagine if you're a parent and you're sending your child to an after-school club and they are then enticed into a sexual relationship by one of the workers. And apparently, she had assured the management that it was no longer going on. But they all knew that, you know, at some point something inappropriate was happening. And I don't even believe that they thought that she had stopped at the time. I eventually left because I just couldn't be around these people. It was just repulsive to me. So the general point is just to be careful with your children. And I'm at Melanie Goss.
Wow. Much obliged, Stacey, in the UK. Definitely make sure you talk to your children about racism and rape, sexual abuse. It is rampant, frequently intertwined, but make sure you're having those conversations. And again, this is all of this should be discussed before you hit the bedroom. Those 200 questions, all of this should be discussed before conception. That is the correct counter-racist way of, you know, procreating in order to produce justice, I think. But very well noted. Mary Kay Letourneau, I keep mentioning her because she's right here in Seattle, where she was doing the same thing. I have no ideas what the laws around sexual consent are in the UK. Here, if it was a child, they were 16, male or female, a teacher could not have sex with them legally. That would be rape, statutory rape, as they call it. And in fact, even if it was, if they were 16 in Washington state, they would have to be 21. They could be no older than 21 for someone to have legal sex with them. If they were 22 and older, all of that would be statutory rape.
Hi, girls. Can I come back on that?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the fact that they're in some kind of institution or attending a government, well, maybe any type of after-school club, whatever, because it's not that wouldn't be formal education. But, yeah, I mean, the age would be, even though they're 16, technically, the laws of consent are, 16 is the age of consent. In terms of being in an educational institution, it would go up to the age of 18. And if you had some kind of special educational needs, it would be up to probably the age of 25 if you are attending any kind of institution. And I guess that the point there then is that it was easier for the institution to claim that, oh, it wasn't going on, or pretend to accept her lie rather than address the situation. And so you cannot trust these organizations to do the correct thing. Hashtag Jimmy Savile.
I was just thinking Jimmy Savile, he could be going out of control. 16, man, I'm not surprised at all why he was able to terrorize generations of children so long with impunity. My goodness, Jimmy Savile, the legend. If you don't know who Jimmy Savile is, they have lots of documentaries on this noted child rapist. Make sure you talk to your children. Rape, sexual abuse, very important. And as Stacey said, you're male and female children, boys and girls, they are both at risk. Irie talked about that with her son. We heard about that. I think we got 2 weeks worth of updates with that situation. White woman teacher preying on her child. Other folks have comments, questions, recommendations, workplace racism.
Can I ask a question about your flood situation?
About the flood situation?
Yes, and regarding just even the cows in general.
That's not really workplace racism. We can hold that till we get ready to sign out, and then we can do that as we're exiting.
Okay.
Groovy. Do we have any other workplace racism? Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Can I be heard? Yep. So, just real quick, I did read a short article about Oprah Winfrey walking off of 60 Minutes and or walking away from the job there at 60 Minutes, and she shared her reason. I believe it was in Forbes magazine, and she said something on the lines of, you know, how they were wanting her to not be so emotional and so involved or attached or so, but she said something about when they would sign off, she would say her name, and they literally wanted her to kind of, you know, do a retake of the recording of it because she would say her name with too much emotion. So she said that she's had to do it like 7 takes of just saying her name and telling her to flatten out her voice. And she basically, you know, she walked away from that saying that, you know, if I can't be myself, then this is not a good fit for me. And I can just imagine that the owners and producers probably weren't Black. I don't know. But, and of course, not everybody can just walk off a job like that, you know, if you're not, you know, making that kind of money that Topa's making. So it'd be a little challenging for some people to just walk off a job because they can't be themselves. But I just found it interesting that it didn't address anything related to racism, but you can definitely see how people that are in power on those jobs could put some type of, you know, restrictions or how we conduct ourselves as Black people on the job there. So I just found that to be interesting and somewhat related to workplace racism there. That was it.
That might be, I wrote it down. Let's see. That might be an example of emotional reaction pattern response. Caller in Florida, is that close, or maybe I didn't quite process your new term correctly, but that sound like it might be an illustration?
Yes, sir, I would agree.
Said you get lots of illustrations. They do that all the time. Do things to upset. Don't say your name like that. What's wrong with you? Say it more flat. I mean, and this is Oprah's. Like, we're talking to, you know, somebody who's never done television or entertainment before. We're talking to Oprah Winfrey, like, system. And again, in my view, that would be another illustration that regardless of how much money you have is not money. Racism, white supremacy dominates everything. Lots and lots and lots of evidence that that is true, unfortunately. And again, why I said the caller at the courthouse in Florida, going back to his point also, when he said, I didn't want to say that I felt this way about her leaving out our names or referring to us as research. I was thinking, my thought was that this is mistreatment. Again, very important, and it goes back to that same reason there consistently. That's the way that we're going to be talked about. That's the terming that they're going to use, that, oh, you're just emotional and you're so sensitive, just little children, you get so excited out here on television. That's the way that we talk, that they talk about all of us. And Oprah Winfrey, what, she's got to be close to 60, I believe. Forgive me not knowing her exact age, but I think she's close to 60. And that's the way that they're talking about her. And in addition to all of the money and all of her experience with television and owning her own network and all of the awards and everything else, you're just an emotional Negro. Calm down. Other folks, any other suggestions, comments that they wanted to share?
May I say something real quick?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for that that input that you shared about saying, I think years ago when I was in the military, I actually was experiencing some anxiety from the racism I was experiencing, and I went to a therapist about it, and she advised me to say, I feel whenever there was something wrong happening to the person that, you know, was doing it. And so years later, someone told me the same thing. Like, why do you feel, you know, ways all the time? Like, they said the same thing. What do you think? And I had to untrain myself. It's been 3-4 years in the making. But, yeah, she was practicing confusion with the I feel. So when I heard you say that, thank you. Just thank you for that. It lets me know that's very much more codified speech.
Words are important in the workplace and just in general as we go about the business of counter-racism. Words are very important, and that's very standard, where they just try to characterize black people, just emotions and just little sensitive children, not thinking. We want to speak. We're speaking from logic. Other folks? Stacy in the UK. Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask Ari a question, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it was just about her son's teacher and what the terrorist wanting to apologize to her son. I know she had said that she wasn't planning to allow that to happen, but I was just wondering if there had been any follow-up in terms of the teacher and her having a conversation and this teacher apologizing. And the reason I'm asking is because even for the head, or I guess it was the principal who was suggesting it, I just found that very suspect in itself, particularly even before any kind of investigation or anything has happened, and the suggestion there that she doesn't know what the outcome of the matter is going to be. But I just think it can be very tricky, an act of cunning behaviour to allow this race soldier to apologize, because that in a way is potentially her saying, well, she's apologized, the parent has accepted it, so the matter is resolved. So I just wondered if there's any follow-up there, Gus or Irie.
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. What I ended up doing was escalating again to, I went to the school board meeting, and the school board meeting is recorded, and I use some very codified to the assistant superintendent who was privy to the situation. So, and he's black, so he got the message. Everybody else was kind of like, wait, what's going on? But he got it. And because it's on tape, there was, I believe, an upward motion in regard to the intensity of response thereafter. So I got a call this week to have a meeting with the dean of the English department, myself, and the teacher, and I'm going to develop a series of questions this weekend. I'm going to make it short, but still have questions only as to why she, one, did what she did, and two, felt that she could still apologize to my son. And then I'm going to direct that question to the dean. Why did you feel it was appropriate for her to have further contact with my son after I made the report? But it's a metaphor, but heads are definitely rolling, even if it's just a little. So that's where we're at with it. And the State Board of Education was alerted to the occurrence. And that's where we are.
That answer your question, Stacy?
It did. And I guess my suggestion would be don't allow them to give you an apology before the investigation is concluded. I just found that very tricky. Well, I'll make my line there, Gus.
Dig it. Whites can skillfully use those apologies to manipulate the situations. Great point. And asking questions, that's one of the best things, getting practice asking questions. Do we have other folks who had comments, suggestions, workplace racism?
I have a question for Ari about her son as well, which is how are you and him doing through all of this? How are you both holding up through all of this? Because, of course, black mental health is very, very important, I believe. Dr. Francis Cross Wilson said none of us qualify for it, but I just want to know how you both are doing.
I, considering that I teach part-time, as well as it was a very tiresome, it drained energy and time that I needed to recover from the school days. And then what it's done for my son is he's very bland now, more than he would normally be around this time of year. And he's verbalized that he just wants to get school over. He, whatever enthusiasm he may have had, he's over it, and I'm just encouraging him to finish strong because, again, he's in the honor society and everything, and I do believe he understands what that responsibility entails. So I don't see him, you know, lessening up on his work and the stuff he has to do to maintain that. But he's really bland overall with school, and I'd have to ask him again, like once maybe we have a recap once June comes to get the full impact report or something. I hope that answered your question, and thank you to Stacy and UK for your advice and everyone's concern. Thank you very much.
Yes, it answers my question. Thanks for answering it.
Context of White Supremacy, our weekly forum, neutralizing workplace racism. Folks have any other suggestions, thoughts, comments based on anything that we've heard today? Certainly, if you figured out some strategies that work well, appreciate it, or anything else you want to get in. So we wind down the broadcast.
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida.
Yes, I was thinking of a few more observations. The chief judge initiated in having a conversation about, I think it was the guy's name is Satchel Paige and Jesse Owens and World War II and Adolf Hitler, I guess at the Olympics. And he was, for some reason, he was talking about how sports was all white at one time. And he said that Jesse Owens was just an amazing athlete. And it reminded me of, I think, when Dr. Wilson was on the Phil Donahue show, and I believe that was right around the time about the Jimmy the Greek guy, I think I said the name correctly. And he seemed to be fascinated by the black athlete. And he mentioned white supremacy and white power, how they were trying to promote that, but he was trying to make it seem like it was, I don't know, I would say like a farce or something that's not true or something. So that was an interesting conversation that he was mentioning. And I didn't really have too many responses to it. I just let him talk, and I pretty much just left on the rest of my route. I wanted to share that one. And there was another one where the warden downstairs, I had went to speak to the black female about getting a signature. So she requested or beckoned the warden lady. She said her name, and the response she's given is, yo, Y-O, yo. This is what this lady said, yo. I'm like, what do you mean, yo? Like, is that because the female is black that addressed her by her correct name? But she responds with yo. And I just asked, is the clerk here so I can get a signature? So she said he's attending a meeting right now, but she didn't know when he was going to be back. So I just put the paper for the signature on his chair or whatever. And my last one is the, I don't know if body language, hand movements has been discussed, because I know when I was discussing my concern this morning, and just like in general, when people are dialoguing with each other, they exhibit body language. And I could tell every time I move my hands, she like her eyes would be looking at my hands, like not every time, but at certain times. And it's nothing, it wasn't nothing really abrupt, but I was like, that's interesting. So she kept looking at the hand movements. Okay. So I don't know, maybe that symbolized some kind of discomfort, but I found that interesting. And I just actually thought of another one where it was a white woman. She was out for maternity leave, and I was walking by, and she was bringing the baby in, and all of the other coworkers, all females, they were circled around the child. So when she turned the baby to look at me, and the baby pretty much had like a scrunched up face, like, oh wow, you know, a Negro, pretty much a Negro or whatever. And the black female says, oh, well, look at how he's looking at blank. Look at how he's looking at him. And the supervisor, she says, oh, maybe it's his voice. And, you know, he's just taking it all in. So I said, well, I'll see y'all later. And I wanted to share those, and that's all I have. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Fascinating. Wow. Just being observant to things that happen in the workplace, you can learn a lot. I have no idea. That was the first thing that came to mind with the anecdote where you were saying that they, the white guy began talking about they had a time where they didn't allow black people in sports. Like, we are at the courthouse. How in the world are we talking about Negro baseball pitchers like Satchel Paige? Like, what is going on? Like, not that you would need to ask that, but that's what I would be thinking in my mind. Like, that when those type of things happen, when I'm and I've been in a workplace and just those sort of off topic, nothing to do with work segues into racism happen, that just lets me further know how much white people think about racism, white supremacy, that is a total lie, we just don't think about race. We're ignorant about race. You're thinking about it all the time. In fact, I think they think about it so much when they interact with black people, Negroes, they're searching, what am I going to talk to this Negro about? What are we going to chat about here in the workplace? Oh, yes. Boy, yeah, the Negroes. You remember that Negro baseball pitcher, Satchel Paige? Wowee. They didn't even let him, play in the majors. I had a white man on a job. This was some years back when I was more confused. We did not do anything related to entertainment, television. There was no television in the work environment. I'm about to leave for the day. And he says, do you know that the Jeffersons, that was the first show, primetime show, that showed an interracial relationship? How about that? And I just remember looking at it like, what does that have to do with any, I mean, am I supposed to celebrate that? Do you think I like the Jeffersons? Like, what? Though all of those type of comments, I don't know if it's happened to other people, but as I said, it just lets me know how much white people think about racism, white supremacy, and how hard it is for them to not say something tacky and or racist when talking to black people. It's almost like they're having to fish for, what do I say to the Negro? What do I say to the Negro? Other folks, much obliged, caller in Florida. Any other folks have question, comment they need to get in? I'll assume folks are satisfied for the evening. Ivy, did you have your question that was not related to workplace racism?
Yes, thank you. Did the flood situation where you were displaced, did that affect, I guess, you being able to get the amount of guests that you want and to run your program the way that you always have and the way that you want to, and maybe even the way that you might want to switch it up ever since you started, because now you might want to run it a little bit different than you have, let's say, 5 years ago or whatever. So has that affected anything regarding that?
I mean, to be displaced from, you know, your residence, all of a sudden, without notice, for 17 months, pretty much disrupts everything. So, everything. I mean, I don't know if other folks have experienced that. This is my first time with that. But, I mean, to literally just be told you have to leave this place and no idea when you will be able to return. And it ends up being 17 months later. It disrupted everything.
everything, not just broadcasting. I guess except yoga, which was not even something that I was doing when all that happened. So, yeah, disrupted pretty much everything.
Okay, thank you.
For sure. Racial dislocation. There's a reason Mr. Fuller talks about that as one of the major strategies. Keep those squatters on the move. Wowee. Yes, that can cause all kinds of disruption. And talk about mental anxiety. But, woof, man oh man, moving forward. And with yoga, no less, moving forward. We'll be here tomorrow, compensatory call in 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll catch up on the week. Again, moving forward constructively with yoga, Labor Day yoga retreat. If folks are down to hang out in California, this is in Ontario, California, Lake Arrowhead, Labor Day weekend, which would be August 29th, Thursday, through Sunday, September 1. 4 days, 3 nights, all plant-based veggie meals, morning and evening yoga, private lake, no mud beds. Looking forward to doing it up. Drop an email and let me know if you are interested in the Labor Day retreat. Give all the details. First portion of the deposit would be due at the end of the month, last day of May, $375, and the final portion would be due I think we said the beginning of August, but looking forward to hanging out in California, Florida for the end of the year. But let me know if you are down for the Labor Day counter-racist yoga retreat. We will definitely make time to talk about workplace racism during the retreat. With that, hope it was a constructive investment of your Friday evening. We'll be back in about 24 hours. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy, especially if you're starting a new job, especially if you are on the job. Sobriety would be best. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled up every time we are in a vehicle, passenger or driver. Let's do all that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.